The one thing that is, if you will, on my heart to say this morning is this: don't get comfortable. You know, the world longs for comfort. And the reason I say that is, don't get comfortable with God. Always press in. Always move in towards Him. And I want to say that as I start out this message, because I really think that God meets us. If we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. Imagine starting a day without drawing near to God. But it's His promise that He will draw near to God, to us, as we draw near to Him. And so many times it's easy to just kind of say, oh, things are going well, or we're in our house, we're going to, you know, I don't know, stay in for the winter, you know, we'll come again in the spring. But there was a time actually where the Lord was leading us in our lives, where I used the word, I'm comfortable. And that was a word I had never, ever, ever said, especially in my 20s. I had traveled in music, and it was nothing comfortable about it. There's nothing comfortable about it. But I remember Danielle and I having a conversation one night before I went to bed, and I used the words, oh, we're comfortable here. This is nice. And the next morning, I got up and went for a jog, an 8-kilometer jog, and I put on a podcast, and guess what the sermon was called? Don't get comfortable. You got it. And by the time I got home, Danielle and I were able to talk about the conversation we had the night before, and the Lord led us in so many ways through that I don't have time to go into detail this morning. But I wanted to say that as we go into this message. Now, last week, actually, real quick, my 3 points this morning are looking back, looking forward, and going after the presence of God. And may I say that there's some normal, natural, physical goals that for us that we can set, and that a lot of times comes with a new year, the practical side of things, but we're also going to set some spiritual goals as well. And last week I ended the service by declaring something over our lives. Today I want to start out this message saying them again. And I put them in the front of your bulletin, if you have a bulletin, but I think we have it on PowerPoint as well. But let's just stand for a moment and declare this together, okay? And this is something that I actually think I want to say. I want us to go through it twice. And I have purpose for doing it twice. Because you know how you read something and you go, oh, that was good. And then you need a second time for it to sink in again. And because I can say, let's say it with your heart. But if you don't know what it is, then you can't connect with it. You connect with it. Anyway, twice. Got it? Okay. Lord, let's say this together. Lord, may this be a place where God's Spirit moves and where His name is exalted. A place of right relationships. A place of breakthroughs and turnarounds. A place of generosity and prosperity. A place of healing and restoration, a place of salvation and reconciliation, a place of power and spiritual warfare, and a place of openness and humility. Isn't that good to say? Okay, let's say this again. If you want to put your hand over your heart, just to connect to physical act that we do, just like, you know, when we worship, we can lift our hands, we worship God. If you want to take your hand, put it over your heart. Let's say this again. Lord, may this be a place where God's Spirit moves and where His name is exalted. A place of right relationships. A place of breakthroughs and turnarounds. A place of generosity and prosperity. A place of healing and restoration. A place of salvation and reconciliation. A place of power and spiritual warfare. And a place of openness and humility. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Woo! Lord, we worship you. Lord, we thank you for these things happening this year, not only in this church, but in our lives, as us, our bodies, the church, as we go out of here. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I know for myself and my family, the past 2 years, we have been through more transitions than I could have ever imagined. And there's been a lot of change, and it has been quite a journey. And looking back on everything, now we're amazed. It's amazing to look back and look at God's faithfulness. And there's something in my heart that just, there's a thankfulness to go, thank you, Lord. When we were facing hard times or possible crisis or tragedy or whatever someone might call it, we actually didn't approach it that way. We believed God was calling us to new things, and looking back, he was so faithful to us and took care of us through every single situation. And we're so thankful. So my point number one I want to talk about is looking back. And I want to ask you this. Looking back on this past year, where did you see God move in your life this past year? What takeaways of learning or growth did you have over this past year? What transitions or challenges might you have had over this past year? And let us look to God and thank him for his faithfulness, that he was with us through every part of it and will continue to be into this new year. And let us not forget Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, and it says this: one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That is awesome. God wants us to forget what's behind. Now, we don't forget because we have memories, right? But if anything, we can come to God with a thankful heart, remembering that he is faithful. And if anything, that gives us courage to press on, to strain towards what is ahead. We press on towards the goal. Why? To win the prize for what God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. And that's awesome. And we need to, that's why we declare these things over our lives, that God is with us, that he is going to move in and through our lives. So in one sense, New Year's always causes us to look back. But this morning we're saying, okay, we've looked back, now let's look forward, right? Which takes us to point number two of looking forward. And I have some practical and spiritual applications. Going into the new year, God is still with us. He'll go before us. Another year is in front of us, led by God and in faith as we declare his promises. So this morning, I want to encourage you by saying, you can't walk on water until you get out of the boat. What is God calling us to? What does he want us to strain forward for? What does he want us to press into? And I'm here to remind us that you can't walk on water till you get out of the boat. You need to put your trust in Jesus, that he is with you. Knowing that he's with you, it actually gives you courage to go after the things that God has called you to do. So I encourage you, be a little uncomfortable. Take a step of faith. Pursue, if you will, continual discomfort, because comfort can be the enemy of progress. If you're not afraid now and then, I might go as far to say that you're not leading by faith. We need to be setting stretching but achievable goals. Isn't that good? Stretching but achievable goals. When our natural meets God's supernatural, we need to believe that explosive things will happen. I want to encourage you to read through your Bible this year and every year, not because you have to, but because you have to. Not because you have to, but because you need to. Because we need the Lord in our lives. And to trust Him, we need His Word. And to trust Him, we need to be filling ourselves with His Word. So, in your bulletins this morning, you will see a Bible reading program. Now, there are lots of Bible reading programs out there. And this is a 5-day read through the Bible reading program. You can read through the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And I did it 5 days because I've tried many, you know, read it every day. And you know how easy it is to miss one day? And then I find that that throws some people off. Now, if you're like that and you can do that, great. Go find, just Google seven or Bible reading plans and you will find an awesome Bible reading plan. But I wanted to give you this one, a 5-day reading plan so you can have 2 days off, okay? So if you miss one, you can catch up. So that by September, you don't find yourself in, you know, Numbers. Because that can easily happen. Encourage you to read your Bible. That's a practical application that will produce spiritual results. Guaranteed. Now, if you don't have one, ushers can, or you know what, you can get one on your way out at the back. We have lots of them back there. I'm reminded of Psalm chapter 1 in the New Living Translation. It says this, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." Isn't that awesome? God is with us everywhere we go as we put our trust in Him. Now, I think of brothers and sisters around the world who aren't in Canada, who might be in other countries, that are trying to move forward the gospel, that are people that are eager to share the good news of the Bible. That's what the Bible is, good news. I'm reminded of brothers and sisters around the world who are being beheaded for their faith in Christ. And I imagine to myself, what would that be like? And I ask myself, am I comfortable? I think about who's going to be at church. Or even a step further, I think about the people that all of you will be in contact each week when you walk out of here. Friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, people that you run into on a daily basis. And I guarantee that they will include people that are stuck, that are desperate, that are alone, that are afraid. Maybe a marriage that is hanging by a thread, or possibly a teenager in the midst of crisis. Maybe there's someone that's considering taking their life this week. I know that there will be every kind of addiction possible. And as a pastor, I try to feel that. And I remember the time when I was alone and afraid, and how I bowed down before the Lord and how I was transformed by the love of Christ. And I'm reminded, as the Bible says, whom the Son sets free, He is free indeed. Christ is our Savior, and He's called us to be the light of the world. I've mentioned his name before, but Pastor Craig Groeschel from Life Church in Oklahoma talks about the importance of how every day he declares some things. He talks about personal declarations. And I've taken his declaration and I've adapted one for myself. And I actually have a couple ongoing because I feel they're constantly changing. And I want to say it's not magic, but I believe that my words are aligning with God's truth. And by saying them out loud, I hear them and they go deeper into my spirit. And faith meets the power of God, and I believe I'm different, that the world is different, because I say these things. Because the Bible talks about how our words create life into our lives. So I encourage you to go home and write out some personal declarations for yourself. And did you know that people who explicitly make resolutions are 10 times more likely to attain their goals than people who don't explicitly make resolutions? 10 times more. Go home, write your goals down. What do you want to see this year? What do you want to accomplish? And I want to encourage you to write something down. We all have the practical side of things. Maybe after Christmas, it's losing a little bit of weight, right? Save a little bit more. Spend time with this person. I want to read these books. I want to move forward with school, maybe some of you. I want to accomplish things. That's all good stuff. But I encourage you to put some impossible things down. What do you want to see God do in your life? What do you think is impossible? Because God meets us in the impossible. Amen? Now that is the practical side. Now imagine for a moment that we're adding to our faith. We're believing for greater things. Because we serve a God that will make a way where there is no way. And God, what we give to God, he can multiply. Because he anoints and he appoints people that are just waiting. He wants us to approach him with big faith. Maybe it's a family member that doesn't know Christ. Maybe it's a breakthrough financially or in your business. Maybe you're looking for an answer. Maybe you're looking for a breakthrough in your health. God is the God of the impossible. And he is looking around the earth for people who will believe in him. Now, after we're going to be taking communion in a little bit, but after you will be coming, I'm going to invite you up for prayer. And that will be also a time to declare things, to pray to pray with someone, to stand in faith with someone, to declare things over your life into the new year. It can be small, it can be big. So this morning, it's not just, hey, if you want prayer. It's, hey, we all need prayer, right? So if there's something you want prayer for, we need, as the body of Christ, to join together to declare in faith that God can do it. And that's what this is about. Now, I want to read to you a declaration that I had started out with. And again, I took some of these from Pastor Craig Rochelle, and I was declaring this. I had this on my computer, and I would open it, I want to say every day, 5 days a week, because that's who I am. But I would literally say this 5 days a week, and it would say this: Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve and glorify him. I love my wife, Danielle, and will lay down my life to serve her. My children will love God and serve him with their whole hearts. I will nurture, equip, train, and empower them to do more for his kingdom than they can imagine. I love people and believe the best about others. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I am growing closer to Jesus every day. Because of Christ, my family is closer, my body is stronger, my faith is deeper, and my leadership is sharper. I am anointed, empowered, and equipped, called by God to reach people far from Him. I am creative, innovative, driven, focused, and blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. I develop leaders. That's not something I do, it's who I am. My worst thoughts and imaginations are under the power of Christ. I take all thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. I wake up with purpose, direction, and meaning every day of my life. Pain is my friend. I rejoice in suffering because Christ suffered for me. I bring my best and then some. It's what I do after I bring my best that makes the difference. The world will be different and better because I serve Jesus today. And then I get up, I walk forward, and serve Jesus with everything that is inside of me. That's who I am, and it's what I do. Why? Because I am a follower of Christ. You are a follower of Jesus. And because of that, there's not a day that goes by that is not chosen for you to glorify Him. So take the time to write some declarations down. Imagine waking up and saying this almost every day of the week. It will empower you to live with purpose every single day. It will allow God to move in to situations that you never thought possible. And it's awesome to see. And this brings me to my last point, point number three. And I want to say, let's go after the presence of God. I've said this before many times, and I'm going to say it many times again. So you'll hear it many, many times because it's a core value of what I believe. I believe the local church is the hope of the world. I believe that when the church rises up, that we can truly feed the hungry, that we can clothe the naked. I believe that the church can heal the sick. I believe that with everything inside of me, because the local church, empowered by a risen Christ, again, is the hope of the world. Our leaders know that we can build a beautiful facility and fill it with beautiful people, beautiful music, wonderful programs. But if it's devoid of God's presence, it means absolutely nothing. That's why we wake up every single day and welcome the presence of God in our lives. When we do that right, God will fill the seats of a church automatically. When we put God first and choose to be healthy, body, mind, and spirit? Man, look out, world. If God is not in a church, the building is only a monument to the will of man. It is vanity. Like Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. And I ask you, who will heal them? Who will save them? Who will set them free? No man can do these things. But when we minister to God, He comes. He is enthroned among the praises of His people. Our praise is like a weapon. It fights the battles for us. And where God is, anything is possible. Healing happens in the presence of a healing God. Salvation happens in the presence of a Savior. Captives are set free in the presence of the Deliverer, the King of Kings who reigns over every spiritual adversary. Growth happens. Transformation happens. Repentance happens. Callings are heard. The Word of God is sharp and effective, and prayers are answered. Anything is possible when God is in the house. Amen? And God is in the house when we minister to Him. We can be all about people, but we know that we have to have nothing to offer people unless we are first all about God. And then we can do as it says in Luke 16, we can go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Why? Because Jesus was the light of the world. He came as a baby to be the light of the world. And He passed that on for each one of us to do the same. To be a light in this dark world. So I speak this, that I declare that the Lord has anointed all of you here to preach the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I speak that all of you, over each one of you right now. And like I said, in a few minutes, we're going to open up a time of prayer so we can gather together and stand and pray with each other, that we will go deeper in Christ, wider in Christ as the body of Christ, that we will become more unified as a church in 2022. Our faith has a target, and I love the scripture, Ephesians 3:20, that says, "Now to Him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." Amen. And I'm actually going to ask Rod to come at this time and lead us in our time of communion. And then after communion, we will close with